Jeff Savamoto with BlueJackets.com and NHL.com. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Well, we're doing pretty well, up in these parts, and it certainly seems as though things are getting pretty crazy down in our state capital. And as I understand it, by taking a look at your Twitter page here, seems like a special visitor is on board for the Jackets. What's Ron Tugnutt doing down in Columbus tonight?
He is one of the original Jackets, one of the first ever goaltenders on the team. Came to town just to see the atmosphere. He lives currently in Peterborough, Ontario. He said he almost stayed here when his career was over. He loved living in Columbus, loved the area, but his career kind of took him elsewhere at the end. But he spent 2 years with the Blue Jackets. Jackets fans will remember him fondly for the Vote Tugnutt presidential campaign he ran back in 2000, just to kind of draw some interest in the team before the inaugural season. As he told me today, that he has great memories of that, just walking down the street, you know, talking to fans, trying to say, kind of build some interest in the hockey team. And he remembers he got exactly how many votes he got that year. He got 12 votes. Said that he got drummed by Mickey Mouse, who had a lot more votes, but he still remembers it very fondly. I said he just came down to check out the atmosphere. He hasn't been in Columbus in a while. Makes it in every so often, but saw some of the games on TV and just thought, I got to get down there and see a game. So caught up with him earlier. Great guy, great stories from the old days. And he said, I want to see it in real life. I don't want to just see it on TV. And when you watch on TV, though, it almost screams through the television just how excited this arena is and how excited the city is for what's happening down here right now.
I mean, listening to these games on the radio, seeing on TV, everyone's standing on their feet throughout it. But it seems there's a lot of alumni who have come back. I know Rick Nash has been back. Now, he played for both teams for a short period of time there in Boston. But Rick Nash has been there. Jean-Luc Grandpierre is on the radio side of things, doing stuff. George Matthews, I mean, alumni both radio and TV have come back to kind of see things. Do you get kind of that sense of a fraternity and guys wanting to come back and take a part in this celebration that has been so far for the Jackets?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You know, a guy like George basically came in. His buddy Bill Davich, who he spent a lot of years on the radio with, is retiring at the end of the season. Who's on Fox Sports Ohio right now. So George wanted to come in and see Bill, but George also wanted to come in and see a city that was really excited about a playoff series. And so it was great to see George. It's been great to see, you know, Ron Tugnutt today. Rick Nash has been working, not really working with the team, but he's just been around kind of learning from the front office. You know, he might eventually be someone who wants to get back into hockey, so he's kind of learning from the front office what a front office person does in the NHL. So he's getting a real firsthand look at that. But, yeah, there's a real good alumni group. I think a couple of years ago they built a CBJ alumni group that they really, you know, want to have an active membership in. And so you see a lot of those guys around every so often. A fair number of them actually live in Central Ohio. A lot of guys finished their careers here and decided to stay and have gotten into coaching, and that's one reason you're starting to see a lot of NHL players come from Central Ohio, as they're being coached by former pros. A guy like Andrew Castles, who was here at the very beginning of the franchise, stayed, and he coaches, I think, the 12-year-olds now in the Ohio Junior Blue Jackets organization, the AAA Jackets. So you're seeing a lot of guys who kind of, you know, came through. They really liked the area. They decided to stay, and now they're staying involved. Jared Bohl is working with the team as well. Chris Clark, who spent some time here. Gregory Campbell. So, you know, people come to Columbus, especially the older guys, the guys who spend a lot of time here, the guys who finished their careers here. You know, they like the atmosphere. They, you know, they appreciate the fan base. They appreciate, you know, how nice the area is and what a good place it is to live. And so a lot of them end up staying. And so then if other guys want to come in and spend some time here, you know, they have people here they know. So it's really kind of cool how it's perpetuated itself. And you are seeing, yeah, a lot of those alumni, you know, that Blue Jackets family is really becoming a thing that people really want to support what's going on here, because everyone's waited so long to kind of see it get to a point where they've been having success that they're having right now. And so now it's happening and everyone's jumping on board.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned one of the reasons Ron Tugnutt came back is he kind of wanted to see and feel that experience for himself. Obviously, anyone watching on TV, anyone listening here on the radio, heard just how loud that crowd got. But you can hear people talk about it and say, oh, it's an advantage. But you were in Boston. I mean, is it a serious advantage for the Blue Jackets having that crowd screaming the way they were in that game?
You know, I think it's a little bit of it can be overblown. I think it can definitely help as well. I mean, it's still hockey, and so you're still going to see, you know, it's not going to affect, these are pro athletes, so it's not going to affect them and be too crazy. But at the same time, you know, we saw the other night in Game 3, the Blue Jackets had a really good penalty kill, and the crowd really got behind them, and suddenly the Blue Jackets started playing better and went down and scored a goal before the end of the period to take the lead. So I think it plays a part in just some of the momentum of the game. But at the end of the day, you know, how big is that? It's hard to tell. But one thing I will tell you that is absolutely for sure, it is louder here than it was in Boston. There is no doubt about that. You know, Brandon Dubinsky was right. I know Bruins fans wanted to give him a little grief about saying after game two, it's going to be louder in Columbus than it was in Boston. But I'll tell you what, being in Boston for the first two games, it did not impress me. I mean, it's an original six city. You think those people would really be crazy. And it was a good crowd, but it didn't feel like that kind of playoff intensity that you see in some of these buildings around the league this time of year, especially some of these cities like Columbus where you just haven't had that success before. So I think Doobie was right. It's definitely louder here than it is in Boston. I will tell you that for sure as someone who was in both of those buildings.
Not speaking from the player standpoint, but you've been out and around the fans and all as well in Boston. Do you think there was some kind of taking for granted that they were playing Columbus and thought it might be an easy couple games and they'd get through it pretty quick, the Bruins, that is?
I think that plays a part, yeah. I mean, I think you saw it, even on the ice, you saw Tampa Bay get very frustrated with what the Blue Jackets were doing. And it culminated in them getting completely out of their game. It culminated with the best player in the NHL getting suspended for a game because he completely lost his cool and delivered a hit that he shouldn't have. But you saw Tampa kind of go, wait a minute, you know, about 2.5 games into that series, like, well, you know, what? This isn't going the way we thought it was going to go. And I think you're starting to see Boston do that a little bit with the famous Brad Marchand, jab to Scott Harrington at the end of game three. Some of the Boston media, I think, is kind of a little bit like, you know, wait a minute, we're supposed to win this series. At some point, the Bruins are going to get it figured out. So I think there is still a little bit of that, no matter how well the Jackets have played in this postseason so far. They've obviously played great. They're 6-1 in playoff games so far. Until they earn that respect of having, you know, being kind of a postseason team, you know, teams are going to think, okay, we're going to get it figured out. But you know, if you're Boston, you got to get it figured out pretty quickly, because if you don't win this game, you're down to, you know, you got to win three in a row, and you know, it certainly can be done. But you feel pretty good if you're the Blue Jackets if you could win this one tonight. So yeah, I think that plays a part. It's just maybe even just it's just subconscious. I think it's a real thing, whether people want to admit it or not.
Speaking with Jeff Sobota of BlueJackets.com, NHL.com. Follow him on Twitter at Jackets Insider. Get some impressive insight here as we get ready for game number four. Touching a little bit on this game, and I guess game three too, Sergei Bobrovsky was outstanding. But to me, the defense the Blue Jackets has carried them through that Tampa Bay series and here in Boston, it just seems they did it with Tampa Bay. They were making them play essentially in a phone booth. And again, looking at Bergeron's number, Pasternak's numbers, who struggled throughout the entire postseason, and Brad Marchand, they've only mustered up a goal here in the three games they played against Columbus. How strong is that defense, and has that been one of the secrets to their success here?
No, absolutely. And we've talked about this before, Matt, and a couple times you had me on. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky, you look at his playoff numbers in years past, and yes, they are definitely down from what he had done in the regular season over the course of his career. But this year, the numbers are a lot better. And I think one of the main reasons for that is, you know, A, Bob is playing better. He's on his game right now. There's no doubt about it. But B, the defense in front of him is just playing so much better than it did in some of those previous playoff series. And the crazy thing about it is, right now, they've got their 7th defenseman, their 8th defenseman, and their 9th defenseman in. They've got 3 guys who would be in their lineup right now on the defense who are out because of injury. And so the fact that they're doing it with the guys that they've got, it's pretty impressive, but those guys have just come in, Scott Harrington, Dean Tucson, Adam Clendenning, and just played their game. They haven't been, you know, worried about what's going on. They haven't been kind of overwhelmed by what's going on. They just come in and played hockey, and they played really well in front of Sergei Bobrovsky. They're not doing anything stupid. They're getting pucks and just getting them forward and just getting them out of the zone. And so the defense has played incredibly well in front of them. And then on top of that, after those guys I mentioned, you've got Seth Jones and Zach Werenski who are playing 25 to 30 minutes a night, every 60 minutes, and who are just playing their butts off, and are two of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. So they found a formula there that's really working with those guys playing well. The horses have been the horses. The other guys have been really good. And then Bob cleans up the rest.
You know, what's funny is watching the stuff on BlueJackets.com and the presser with Torts. He made that comment, look, we haven't done anything yet. We've still got a ways to go. And then I saw something with Pierre-Luc Dubois who echoed the exact same thing his coach did, saying, we haven't done anything yet. A lot of people might argue that, knocking off the Tampa Bay Lightning, but obviously the goal is to get to that top of the mountain and win the Stanley Cup. But it really seems they're echoing that throughout the locker room. There's still a long way to go. We haven't done anything as far as we're concerned. They've got to keep going. Have you noticed that from the players as well in the locker room?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the city's gone gaga. The city's like, oh, my God, can you believe what's happening? But It's the job of the coaches to get to the players, and, you know, we have not accomplished anything yet. The goal, you know, they've got 6 wins in the playoffs so far. Well, you know, nobody really remembers you unless you get 16. You know, you don't go down in history unless you win all 4 rounds. And so that's been the message that, and they have taken it to heart. There is no doubt about it. You know, every time we talk to the captain, Nick Foligno, he says, yes, we're playing well, but, you know, we still have a long way to go. We need this to continue, that kind of stuff. And that's the atmosphere and kind of the attitude you have to have to win a championship. I've covered sports professionally for about 15 years now, and I've been around championship teams. And the ones that go far and the ones that do special things are the ones that don't take it for granted. They keep their heads down. They keep their nose to the grindstone. They know they haven't accomplished anything until the final game is played. You know, they don't get happy with their success, and they have that mindset that what we've done is great, but, you know, once we win, it's behind us, and we go on to the next thing. And that, to me, has been the most impressive thing about this Blue Jackets team. So they're still a young team. I mean, they got a lot of guys who are 20 to 25 who have, you know, not played a lot of playoff hockey, but they have absolutely figured that out right now, that, you know, you cannot be happy with what we've done because we've still got a long way to go to get to where we want to get to.
And, Jeff, we're 2 hours from puck drop at Nationwide Arena, so I know you're a busy guy and you got to get going here. So I'll leave you with this question. What do the Jackets have to do to get the victory here tonight?
I think they're going to have to survive early. I think Boston's going to come out really riled up. I think it's going to be I'll say something Ron Tugnut said before the game. It's going to be a war in the first 10 minutes. When we talked to him, that's kind of what he said, is that this Boston team is going to come out, and it's going to be a physical 10 minutes. And you know, Blue Jackets are a physical team too, but you can't get out of your game kind of playing that physical way. Is you've just got to play hockey. Let the physical part come the way that the physical part comes. And then just, you know, from there, you know, they got to get a couple more guys going offensively. You know, guys like Pierre-Luc Dubois, who you mentioned, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Josh Anderson, or even Ryan Dzingel, Alexander Wennberg, those guys I just saw named combined have one goal in this series. So, you know, so those guys got a little bit more. And they just got to clean up some things defensively. They gave up too many chances in the last game. Bob bailed them out a lot, as did the post. But, you know, they just got to play a little bit more of a solid, cohesive game and then go from there. And one thing I'll tell you, I'm standing right outside Nationwide Arena as I do this interview, and there are people everywhere. It's going to be an absolutely phenomenal atmosphere here tonight. It feels like a big game atmosphere. There's people everywhere, and they're ready to go.
That's awesome to hear the city getting behind it the way they are, Jeff. I appreciate you taking the time here today with us, man.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you again, Jeff. Again, that's Jeff Svoboda with BlueJackets.com and NHL.com. As Matt mentioned earlier, make sure you give him a follow if you haven't yet on Twitter, @JacketsInsider. That's @JacketsInsider. He's got some great stuff up there today. He wrote an article earlier today also talking about how the Blue Jackets power play has been one of the biggest reasons for the Jackets postseason success. So if you're looking for news in the Jackets, make sure you give Jeff a follow on Twitter, because he certainly has it covered. And as you mentioned, my friend, great to hear that the atmosphere is electric down on our state capitol today.
It's crazy what they were doing. And yeah, you do hear people talk about the fans. I believe there's got to be something to that, but I mean, those fans are blowing the roof on. I think it lets the players at least know, look, what they're doing is being documented. It's being well respected by the fans down there. They want a winner, and right now the Blue Jackets have been giving them that.